back to the Six Side Culture Podcast. Once again, I'm joined by Danny and Richard. Boys, what's going on? You good?
Hey, guys. I'm fantastic.
We are back. It's about time. Our first episode, no Azuri. Obviously, it's unfortunate. But, you know, it's time to move on now. The season's upon us. We got some things to talk about here and to break down. So, Richard, welcome back. Obviously, we didn't have you for the last episode. But we're back now. I think you guys can all assume how Franchella was feeling. He was far from upset. We'll tell you that the complete opposite there.
So, guys, I just want to say, in the 20 years of my existence, I've never lost my voice. And from all the Juve and Allegri that I've been watching, I've been yelling a lot. I've never been happier in my life. After that England game, I lost my voice. It was a pain that I would do over and over again. And, you know, the perfect final that I've been saying for weeks that I wanted, and it finally happened. It's a dream come true, and I just hope every Azzurri fan basks in the glory of this Euro.
Yeah, definitely. Very big moment for our history, so yeah, we'll still mention it time to time. Obviously, it's a big accomplishment. It's not something that just happens like that. But yeah, now we got to officially move on, and someone who played a big part in that whole Euro Cup win was Gianluigi Donnarumma, which is the first guy we'll be talking about today. Obviously, Gigio is going to PSG, which I know there's a lot of talk about that. He almost went to Juve, and then Allegri preferred Chesney over Donnarumma, which, you know, for Chano, your fist is probably shaking right now as I'm talking about that. But yeah, then he decided to go to PSG on a free. He's making $12 million a year, which is a lot of money. But, yeah, it's a good move for Gigio trophy-wise, I guess, and Ligue 1. Well, they didn't win last year, but if they don't win this year, something's wrong with them. Who's PSG's coach right now? Pochettino?
Yeah, Pochettino,
yeah.
If he does not win the Ligue 1 with that team, he's the worst manager to ever manage. Like, I don't care where he brought Tottenham to the Champions League final. If you can't win with that team, something's wrong. But, obviously, Champions League...
Especially because Leo... they're regrouping too. Their old manager left too. He joined Nice, so they brought in a new guy. So they're gonna be a new development as well. So yeah. I think it's a perfect opportunity for PSG to take the league this year.
If they can't win, then I don't know what's wrong. If I might just relegate myself, if that was the case, but
sell the whole club.
Exactly. But like for Gigio, it's tough, right? Because I feel like someone who went through his path that Gigio's going down now is Verratti, who obviously started in Italy at Pescara. And I don't know, Verratti, he's always been someone that I think Italian fans have liked as a player, but it's so hard to really give him the love you want to give him when you don't see him every week. Like Verratti, we only see him for the national team. I don't know how many people watch the Ligue 1. Maybe in the Champions League, but that's not often. They only play a couple of games in the Champions League. So, like Gigio, I think one advantage he does have is that he's played almost 300 games in the Serie A, which is incredible for his age. And we've seen a lot of him compared to Verratti when he went to PSG. Like, he was in Italy, but it was not like as much as Gigio played, and it's very different. So I feel like Gigio is a little different, but career-wise, I don't know. It's tough because, number one, people are saying Navas is going to start over him, which... it's possible. He had a good year for them. He's one of the best players at PSG. And he's still like, they're probably thinking, oh, Gigio, he can be the next guy up. But right now we have Navas. I think it's bad for him to miss out on a whole year of playing. I'm sure he'll play games, but he should be starting every game. And it's bad for the national team, if anything, if Gigio's not playing as much. Not that he'll get rusty, but it's a very different environment when you're in practice and then in a game with all these fans screaming at you. So... I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it, to be honest. But as a Roma fan, I'm happy he didn't go to Juve. I'm very happy. As an Azzurri fan, it probably would have been better if he went to Juve or any team in the Serie A, really. I always thought he'd go to Napoli one day because he's from Napoli, but I know the money would be very tough for Napoli to afford a player like him. Many teams can't afford him, especially right now with COVID and everything going on. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of the move. But, Dan, how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a huge step and a huge move for a kid who's 22. He's proven that he's one day this guy could be one of the best goalies in the world. But for me, I would love to, as much as he killed Napoli I would like when we always used to play Milan, he would always make that big save that would cost us the game or that would cost us the 3 points. So as much as I'm not going to miss him in the league, just from a Napoli standpoint, for me, I think he should have stayed in the league because it's, again, us, it's like a Verratti situation, like you said, and it's like we're not going to see him unless he's playing for the Azzurri or if he's playing in Champions League and we happen to watch the game just to see how he plays or if he's going to play even in Champions League because who knows what Pochettino has up his sleeves or if he's going to put Navas into those games because he's got more experience. But for me, I don't agree with the move. I don't like it at all. And again, it's another big talent leaving Serie A, just like a few players have, like DePaul, Hakimi, now Donnarumma is leaving the Serie A. So for me, I don't like the move personally as a fan of the Azzurri team and as a soccer fan in general. But for Donnarumma's aspect of it, if he wanted the money, who knows if Juve were going to offer him 12 million a year like PSG did. And it's a huge move for him, and he should be happy. He made a big time move, and it's going to be weird seeing a different goalie now at Milan between the sticks. So we'll see what Mignan has in store if he can fill the shoe, even three quarters of the shoes that Donnarumma left, or if Milan's goalie situation is going to be a trouble one for the future.
Yeah. I just feel like this, every fan that's ever watched this podcast, every Juventus fan, I think need to validate me now. I've been calling it for years that Allegri doesn't know what he's talking about. And I think this is the perfect, example of it. If he, as a manager, he should have been watching the Euros. I know he hasn't watched in 2 years, but now that he has the job and the contract, he should have been watching the Euros. And the fact that he even said during the Euros, that Szczesny is a better goalkeeper than Donnarumma. After watching what Szczesny did in the Euros and Donnarumma was doing in the Euros, you could tell that he wasn't watching and he wasn't paying attention. It's a shame for all Juventus fans. I think we're just going to be crying ourselves to sleep every time Szczesny has a bad game, knowing what we could have had in 10 years down the line when Donnarumma is still making world-class saves and being the best goalie in the world. We're going to be crying knowing what we could have had. And I think that's just the story of our lives right now, but I'm happy for Donnarumma. You know, I think he's going to get a lot of validation at PSG. He's going to get the respect he deserves from fans outside of the Serie A, because unless you watch the Serie A, a lot of people didn't know how good Donnarumma was until the Euros, obviously. So I think now a lot of people are going to start respecting Donnarumma, and hopefully down the line, Keylor Navas says, fuck this, I'm not sitting on the bench, and he comes to Juve, and Allegri finally grows a little bit of a brain to get him. But we'll see what the future holds. And like Enzo said, if Pochettino is smart, Donnarumma would be starting. But I don't think he will in the first season. I think it'll be Navas. And Donnarumma will play the cup games. Or maybe Donnarumma plays a couple of league games here and there. But I definitely think Navas will be the starter until he's sold.
Yeah. That's looking like that's going to be happening. But it is unfortunate, man. Like, I really would have preferred if Donnarumma went to, I don't care what team he would have went to in Europe. Just as long as they can contend for the Champions League and he can start. Even if, like, I know he's going to leave Serie A eventually, because for years now, Milan Raiola has been pushing for it. So it was going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
But the PSG, it's kind of, it feels like PSG could have been a decent option, but it's the wrong time for it, to be honest. With Navas being there, maybe if they at least one more year at Milan or, I don't even know if he went on loan somewhere from PSG. He needs to play. I want him to play. I want him to beat the record for appearances. It's going to hurt his case now. So it's a little annoying, but I'm hoping that...
Well, if he in the environment is shit and he doesn't like it and he says, what did I do? I want to go back. Like, I want to go back home to Italy.
It's going to be tough now with that big
contract. Yeah, obviously.
Oh, yeah. But, guy's making, what, 12 mil a year?
Yeah, 12 mil a year. That's a big time money, especially for a keeper. Wow.
Yeah, it's huge money.
He's definitely going to be the most paid keeper of all time when his career is done. 100%. But yeah, now moving on from, Gigio Dybala. Obviously Dybala, last year was, riddled with everything you can imagine, girlfriend problems. I guess you can say not problems, but I saw some Juve fans making fun of, some situation with his girlfriend last year, injuries, COVID, everything you can imagine. Everything happened to Dybala. he'd come back and then he'd get hurt again, and then it was just not his year. Kind of like a lost year in his career, which is unfortunate. But yeah, now Dybala is coming into a new season. He looks in much better shape, in my opinion, at least.
Does he?
Yeah, he looks like he's in much better shape than I saw him. He looks in really good shape.
Last time I saw him, he was injured already. He didn't even play a game.
I'm talking like physique-wise. Like when I saw him, he looked like he put work in on his time off. He looks ready. But I don't know, he got hurt already. I'm not going to say much. I don't think it's a serious injury. It's like a muscle
tear. No,
that's not a big deal. That happens. I know Roma, we have 5 of those already. That happens when you're on vacation and you come back and you start running again. That's normal.
Yeah, Napoli have one. Luca Palamero, his ankle, he's done for a month.
Yeah, see, when you come back from vacation, that stuff happens when you're not used to running and stuff at that speed and intensity. But yeah, Dybala is reunited with Allegri, which I think, I know for sure you don't like Allegri, but I think Dybala's best years were clearly under Allegri. I think we can all agree. And I don't know, if we can see a 2015 Dybala, 2017, like any Dybala like that, Juve could be in a good spot. I still do believe, I've said it since he came, I still think that Ronaldo, until he's gone, Dybala will live up to his full potential. But yeah, I think Dybala, he's a talented player. But Ronaldo takes so much shine away from him. I feel like Dybala really thrived when he was that next Del Piero, people are calling him, the next leader of Juve, the next captain, which obviously won't be captain until Chiellini's retired, but I'm sure Bonucci might as well. But yeah, I just feel like they hurt Dybala when Ronaldo came. All the attention went from Dybala to Ronaldo. It was kind of in the shadow. And I'm not saying they can't play together. I'm not even talking about on the field. I'm talking about off the field. I feel like that affected Dybala mentally a little bit. Had to have, because he hasn't been the same since Ronaldo came. But this season, I think if Ronaldo takes a little bit more of a backseat, isn't demanding the ball 24-7, because it seems like he is when I watch him, he's always pointing at his feet, screaming for the ball. If Allegri can put him in line and let Dybala run the show, I think we'll see a better Juve, a better Dybala, and just a scary Juve. I think the old Juve might be back if we see the old Dybala come back. But, Francesco, what do you think about this whole Dybala situation and his return to Juve? Well, I'd say it is a return. It's like a new signing at this point. He's a new signing. The old Dybala is back signing. So what do you think about his return?
I think his return, Dybala is a player that I like, but he makes it very hard for me to say that I like the guy. With this whole contract situation, the girlfriend issues, whatever he does on his off time when he's not playing for Juve, last year, I can't blame him. And, you know, he was injured for basically the whole season. And now he's back. So I think he has a lot to prove to himself, to the fans, to the club. And like I said, I don't want to see him playing another second on the pitch until that contract is signed. Because I said it last season, when that contract is in his mind, he's not focusing on playing, he's not focusing on scoring or assisting. He just focused on, oh, you know what? If I do something crazy this game, they have to pay me the $12 million I want. They have to pay me this amount. And I think when the contract's signed, he could say, you know what? This is the contract I have for another X amount of years. Let's just play now. Now I could focus on my football. And I really hope that's the case with Dybala. And you said Dybala's best years were under Allegri. It's when before he was corrupted by the hype and the money and all this. He was just a little boy from Argentina, from Palermo, that wanted to prove himself on the big stages. And I think that's why he was so good. Now that he's a household name at Juventus, I feel like now he has to focus on retaining that name and not losing himself to the money and fame like other stars have done in the past. So I'm a little nervous for the season, but hopefully Allegri... I say hopefully Allegri, but, you know, the guy, he's a little lost in the head. But hopefully Allegri punishes him accordingly. If Dybala has a bad game, he's like, you know what, Dybala, you don't want it as bad. You're going to go on the bench and Fagioli's going to play. Because I think Fagioli, I know Allegri is a very big fan of him. So hopefully Fagioli could have a really good season. Chiesa could have a good season. And Dybala could finally wake up.
Yeah, I think Juve fans may be hoping Dybala wakes up, because I think he's a difference maker when he's at that level that we used to see him at. And I remember playing Juve and fearing playing Dybala and being nervous when he had the ball. And to now when he has the ball, I don't really care. Like, he doesn't worry me too much now. So we'll see. It could be mental, it could be physical, it could be a lot of things. But I think it's a mix of everything that happened with Dybala.
Yeah. But let me just say something quick. Yeah. If I think personally, if Dybala can stay healthy and he's got the right mindset, he was his best self under Allegri, and I think if he can stay healthy this season, he's shown signs last year when he played especially against Napoli, where he came off the bench and he just was Dybala, the Dybala I remember seeing, and he was just class, scored a beautiful goal. So I think if Dybala can stay healthy this year, maybe get back into the shape he was in before, prior to when, say, guys like Pirlo and Sarri joined, I think he could be a dangerous player for Juve, and he can probably be Juve's best player next season alongside of Chiesa.
Yeah, no doubt. Dybala at that level is always going to be a top player. Not too long ago, he won the MVP. So, that wraps up our Dybala talk there. But now, coaching changes, boys. There have been so many changes. I know Allegri. We don't really have to get into it too much because he's been at Juve for a while already. We've seen
every top team except for, say, top six, maybe top 17, except for Atalanta has changed the coaches this year. And Milan, Atalanta and Milan. Two other top six teams changed the coaching already.
There's been a lot, and we'll get into all of them. I think Spalletti is a pretty big one. I think, obviously, Spalletti isn't the most liked coach in the Serie A, especially by us Roma fans. But, because he has a history of causing just issues with players and all this stuff as the season goes on. But Spalletti, he's going to Napoli. He seems happy. I watched a couple interviews from Twitter at Di Maro with, I think Zielinski was there in Politano.
Yeah, they did a little press conference, on the stage with Zielinski and Politano.
Yeah, and it's a new change. I do feel bad for Gattuso. I didn't think he deserved, maybe he deserved to get sacked, I'm not sure, but I don't know. I thought he was doing a decent job, at least, at Napoli. Just some games where, obviously, tactically, is where Gattuso always lacked, and you saw it. Like, it lost Napoli a couple of games here or there. But I thought the players really liked Gattuso, and it could have been great for the club if they kept him. But at the same time, I understand why they moved on. Because, sometimes something doesn't work. You got to switch it up and see what happens. So, Dan, Napoli, Spalletti, what do you think? What do you expect?
Yeah, so from what I've seen so far, I'm really liking the way that a lot of players are training, especially, every day they do, a training session. So, yesterday I was watching, and I was seeing a lot of good things, good ball movement. I like the way that Spalletti wants his guys to not take it easy, not go too hard where you kill the guy, or not take it easy where you just let him run by, but just train with some intensity. So that's one thing I like to see. And then another thing I witnessed too, that I'm pretty sure it was Spalletti, he took the time to call over Mokui and started training with him by himself, just working on some touching, some passing and stuff, so which was pretty cool to see as well. He's saying a lot of right things. Especially I like the way that he's using the Saulo Conte kind of as a slogan, but just like his slogan, just to fight to the end. One day, you guys will be champions. So just that's one thing I like too. He's saying a lot of the right things. He's doing a lot of the right stuff for us. And one thing I've noticed too, which could be a good aspect for us because we need bodies in the mid. Laboca too. I don't know if Spalletti talked to him personally, but Laboca looks good. Last year he looked overweight, you can say, but now he looks pretty slim. He looks like the Laboca I saw clips of when he was at Celta Vigo. So hopefully the players like him. I know Petagna came out, he said that he likes Spalletti. He's gonna prove to him that every position he does, if he's starting, coming off the bench, he's gonna play the game he wants. Spalletti wants him to play. So hopefully the players like him. It's going to be interesting now because of the history that Spalletti had with guys say like Icardi, Totti, Handanovic. It's going to be interesting to see what he does when Insigne comes back to the retreat after. Not the retreat, but when we go kind of like our preseason, you could say our part two of the preseason. So it's going to be interesting to see when Insigne comes. But one thing I like too, he's a strikers guy, Spalletti. He's all the strikers he's coached in the past in the Serie A, they were all top three, top four in goal scoring. So hopefully he can carry that over to Osimhen, because if Osimhen can have a big season this year, it's going to be a good season for us. And the funny thing says he said too, with the chain and Koulibaly, if God forbid we lose Koulibaly, it's going to be very, very hard to replace him. And hopefully now Koulibaly stays under Spalletti and Spalletti can take him under his wing and develop him into an even better defender than he is, which is going to be hard to do because Koulibaly's already an amazing defender. So it's going to be an interesting season, but hopefully Spalletti can lead the boys to top four, which we want. And hey, if he can lead us to anything more than top four, maybe I'll get a Spalletti suit. Who knows?
Yeah, Dan, I think it'll look good. You know, for the pod, you can wear a nice Spalletti suit and rock it.
Get the Spalletti picture frame, picture framed of Spalletti holding a Scudetto if he can win this one in my room. Why not?
No, yeah, Spalletti, it's very hard to, I don't know, it's tough because, okay, from my experience, I've had him twice as a manager. Usually when he first comes, you get really excited. He does talk well, like he speaks.
Yeah.
He said a lot of things you want to hear, which gets really excited. I know from the past, I got really excited when he first came back. And the first time he came, he said a lot of the right things. It's just where Spalletti's downfall is when, you know, when every team has it, like when they have like a tough stretch or
when the chips are down.
That's where he just starts blaming players in interviews or just causing conflicts. I feel like someone like Insigne might have a problem with Spalletti down the line. If he doesn't do that, I think everything will be fine. But when he starts doing that, it just all goes downhill and really messes up the season because he is a very selfish coach. He likes being in the headlines as much as he doesn't say that he does. He does. Sure. He's always trying to.
Not know why De Laurentiis signed them. They're both the same characters. Maybe that won't be a problem. They're both the same characters.
That's actually funny how you said it. It could be true.
Maybe it could be a problem. Who knows?
But yeah, Spalletti's a hit or miss. You never know what's going to happen. Maybe he changed over the years. Who knows? But I know from the past, that's what happens everywhere he's gone.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll see what happens with Napoli. Hopefully they can bring in maybe a signing or two and improve the squad a bit. And, yeah, hopefully Spalletti can take them to the next level where they want to get at. But now, speaking about a coaching change and a big signing, Mourinho, I think, not being biased, I think you can agree Mourinho is probably one of the biggest news to come out this whole mercato. Him coming to Roma, obviously a manager of his stature, one of the greatest managers of all time, in my opinion, at least 25 trophies. That's just incredible. And yeah, Mourinho, we haven't had a manager of his caliber since 2001. We had Fabio Capello, and we won the Scudetto that year. Mourinho, I don't think we're going to win the Scudetto, obviously. We're very far from that. Very, 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 very far from that. So that's not even in my mind. That's not even a question I'm even trying to answer here. That's not going to happen. The real question of Mourinho is, how long will we be here for? Because obviously Mourinho has a tendency of leaving teams pretty early. I think it's the first time where he went to a new team and in the press conference he said, I want to be here a long time. I have a 3-year contract, hopefully longer. I've never heard him say that in my life for any team. I think the Friedkins are treating him well. They got him the Vespa. They got him new technology and training. He said, I want Vina after Spina got hurt. We got Vina. He said, I want Rui Patricio. We give him Rui Patricio. I want Xhaka. Sky Sports just said Xhaka is basically done. Everything he's asking for, we're giving him. So there will be no excuse for him, whatever he wants. I have a feeling he's going to want a striker very soon after seeing Dzeko play against Arsenal and the other two matches in preseason. So we're probably going to be looking for a striker pretty soon. But, yeah, it's Mourinho, his coaching style, we all know what it is. Sits back, he counters. He's known for building a very good defensive team, like we saw when Inter played Barca in the Champions League semifinal. That was like the historic match of Mourinho's career, I'd say. And after watching yesterday's match, the first time the cameras were actually on and broadcasting the match for fans to watch across the world, what I noticed is playing the 4-2-3-1, which is the classic Mourinho formation. He really likes it. And then on defense, we moved to a 4-4-2, so it's much more defensive. We got two guys up pressing the back line, and then you got the rest of the team just sitting back, the 8 guys sitting back. But yeah, I just think Mourinho is a really good manager. We've seen it. He obviously is criticized for his time at United, but he won three trophies. Like, obviously, the big club like United, three trophies. It's good, but it's not the Prem. It's not the Champions League. It's not what they wanted. So obviously, for us, three trophies. I'll jump off my roof head first if we get three trophies with Mourinho. I'll tell you that right now. But at Tottenham, he was criticized as well. First year was decent. Second year, obviously, it was a nightmare. But he did get them to a final, and he didn't let them play the final, which is. I don't know about you guys, but I would never sack a coach a week before a final. That's the stupidest thing you can do, in my opinion.
That's like sacking a coach, like kind of like before the final game. Like it's stupid. Just sack him after the final. Like, who knows? Maybe under Mourinho, who knows if Spurs could have won the finals, which it's a very tough task, especially against City. But for me, I would just wait until after the finals. So just there's another reason. You lost the final, so okay, you're gone.
Exactly.
I would never do it before.
If there's one manager in football you want coaching a final, forget all the other games. It's one game. If there's a manager you want to win you one game, it's Mourinho. Look at his history in the final in his career. He has a really high win percentage. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's very high. He knows how to win a game if he has to win a game. So I don't know why they'd sack him. It's kind of unfair to him. But he got a team to the Spurs to the final. And I don't know. I just think Mourinho's a good manager. Is it the same manager it used to be? I don't think that he's changed. I think football has changed. I think it's more offensive now than it used to be, which is harder to kind of defend against because he's a very defensive coach, Mourinho. So I don't think it's that he changed. I think football changed. I think that's a big difference. But, yeah, I think Mourinho can really help this Roma turn around. I think our biggest weakness has always been mentality. We're very weak. We go down a couple goals, we give up. And I saw a very different Roma against Testina that I've never seen before. They pressed all game. It's kind of like the old Barca rule. I don't know if you guys know about it, but basically the prime Barca, when they lose the ball, it's a 10-second rule. You have to get the ball back in 10 seconds. You press, press, press till you get the ball back. And that's what I saw Roma doing, which I really liked. I've never seen Dzeko press in my life. He's been here for, what, 5, 6 years? I've never seen him press a ball in my life. He was running like a maniac. Zaniolo was running like a maniac. Just everyone was pressing their heart out. Our defense looked amazing. So that's one thing I noticed right away. Physical shape, I noticed Mourinho's doing a lot more stretching and running and training, which I think we do need because Roma have a history of getting hurt, especially towards the end of the year. So I think this whole new medical staff, Mourinho, Jose Sacramento, who's a very good coach. I think a team in the Liga actually wants to take him from us already. But he's Mourinho's right-hand man. He had him at Tottenham as well. He's done a great job. I've seen the training videos Roma's been releasing. And I'm just excited to see what Mourinho can do. Do I think we'll get top four? I don't know. Yeah. I think.
I was just going to ask you that right now. Yeah. I was just going to say, do you think Mourinho could lead you guys to the top four? Or
I think maybe. From what I saw yesterday, I do like the team. I like how we played. I just think if we don't sign a striker, we're not getting top four. I think that's a big difference in our team. There's a play where Zaniolo got around that there was two guys there and he played it to Jack on the plate. He messed it up. Pellegrini played Jack on the plate. He messed it up. Mayoral missed an open net. You can't be having it in a professional match. You're not going to get 10 chances a game. You're going to get 3 or 4. If you can't score at least one of them, you're done for. You're not going to win the match. So I think if we don't get a striker, I can't see us getting top four. If we do get a striker, I'll even take someone like Icardi, who's, I know people don't like him off the pitch, whatever. I agree with that. But on the pitch, at least in steady eye, he carried it on his back. In the box, you can't deny he's one of the best finishers. When he's in the box, he wins every ball. Someone like Icardi, Belotti, anyone. If we can get a striker, I think top four is a possibility. But as of right now, no, I don't think it is. Because we are struggling to score goals massively. I think Zaniolo will help, though, if we do get top four. Zaniolo looked incredible. For someone who hasn't played in 11 months, this guy was running like an animal, chasing the ball back. Getting around players. Obviously, looked a little rusty here and there. But it is tough to play against a team that's parking the bus, not much space to run. So we didn't see a Zaniolo. We usually see where he runs past 11 guys and, a Dutch guy takes him down and he gets hurt or something. But, we didn't see the old Zaniolo, but we saw flashes of it when we could. And he only played a half. It's kind of hard to get into a game and you only play a half because obviously it's preseason. I'm not going to play the whole game. So what's the point?
Yeah.
Against Porto, I'm sure we'll see more of Zaniolo, and he'll have more space to run because Porto won't be parking the bus, I don't think. At least they'll probably be attacking more.
It's funny how against Porto, let me just say this quick, that they say the coach of Porto is the next Mourinho.
That's funny, I heard about that.
So it's funny, just now Mourinho's going to go up against Porto, and it was a club that he coached too, so kind of like it's a funny game, it's going to be like comedic like plays and stuff, but it's just the funny storylines heading into that game, and especially for a friendly. So I wouldn't be surprised then if the game ended 0-0 or 1-0 last minute win for like Roma or something.
Yeah, no, definitely. And just to wrap it up, I'm excited we have Mourinho. If I'm being honest, I've been a Roma fan my whole life, and this is probably the most excited I've ever been going to a season. I can't wait. I'm counting down the seconds. I keep looking at the calendar. I can't wait. Every friendly we watch, I enjoy every second of it. Having a coach like Mourinho is an honor. No matter what you think of him, it's an honor to have someone who's won that much in his career, won a Champions League with a team like Porto. He gives us hope that we haven't had in a long time. Zaniolo gives us hope because he's back. The way Pellegrini's been playing last year gives us hope. There's so much hope right now. And if we can bring home the Conference League, which I know obviously it's laughed at the competition, I don't blame people. It shouldn't even be a competition, to be honest, because I don't know, you wait for one more money. But I don't care. If we win the Conference League, you'll think we won the treble. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to cry on this podcast. I'll be so happy. Any trophy we get, I'll celebrate. So I'm hoping for some kind of trophy this season. If not, I won't be mad. Mourinho has a 3-year contract. Even if we win in 3 years, I'll be happy. As long as he can bring something to Rome, he'll be one of the best managers ever managed the club, because we're in a big funk right now. We haven't won since 08, which is terrible. Last time we won, I was 7 years old. That is that's shocking. So, I'm now moving on from Mourinho. Richet, your boy, his last coaching job was at Juve. Maurizio Sarri is the new manager of Lazio. What do you think, Richet?
Yeah, before I dive into the great manager of Maurizio Sarri, I just want to touch up on the other two managers. In terms of Spalletti, I just feel like, I think I've said on the podcast before, he's a good manager to build the puzzle, and then he won't win anything. He'll just get the team to where they can attest to win something, and I think that's what Napoli needed right now. So I think Spalletti will do a good job at Napoli. And in terms of Mourinho, he's the one that scares me the most. When you ask me about the Scudetto, I think Roma is the team that scared me the most out of every other team. Yeah, I think Inter, they just have a good team, but the manager's shit. Lazio, they have a good manager, but the team is shit. Napoli, it's just Napoli. They'll get like top four, top five. They'll put up a fight, but I don't think they have the squad or depth to actually win it. And then you have Roma, who have Mourinho, whose winning is in his DNA. You have Zaniolo. And then as Spinazzola comes back, halfway through the season, you have that guy. So I think Roma is the team that scares me the most in the Scudetto race. But Maurizio Sarri, you know, I think this is a great club for him to join. He's not going to be bombarded by the fans to expect to win anything at Lazio. He's going to be able to really show everyone the Sarri ball, the Sarri way he wants people to play. He's not at a professional club where he needs to wear a suit. You know, Lazio, I don't think they care what he wears. So he's going to be in a nice Lazio track suit. He's already met the Eagle. I think he's having a great time there. And you could tell he has a special bond with the players already. I think it was Muriqi. Fans were getting mad at him during preseason. And they said, if you talk bad about him, I'll kick you guys out. So it shows he already has a special bond with the team. And he has a lot of good characteristics with Lazio, and I think Lazio could be a scary team in a couple of years.
Yeah, no, like under Sarri, he's known for his attacking football. But the question is, does Lazio have the players to suit his style? And especially if guys like Correa, who apparently is rumored to be on his way to PSG, if he's gone, who he's going to replace him, because apparently too, Luis Alberto might leave. So who knows if those guys leave. And I just don't think Lazio have the defense or even goalkeeper anything to contend for maybe, say, if you're top four, Scudetto, whatever, because I just don't think that's their weakness is defense. Yeah, Milinkovic-Savic, he's a good midfielder, but you really look at that midfield, if Luis Alberto and Correa leave, who else do they have? Immobile, the guy will get you the goals, but if there's no one creating for him, is he going to really get that 20 goals? So Lazio, I think, needs to start looking at other targets and just have Sarri pick out the guys he wants to bring in. He already brought in Husai, and the guy didn't even play a game yet, and he's already getting hate from Lazio fans, I think, due to the song Bella Ciao, which I'm not going to get into because it's a political, and I don't want to be political on this podcast. But so Sarri, he needs to keep guys like Correa and keep guys like Luis Alberto for Lazio to have a chance of them maybe making top four, even if they want to contend for Scudetto, if you people think they're a contender for Scudetto. So I think he'll do okay at Lazio. His first year might be a little rough, depending on the guys that come and go. But maybe next season you might see a big step from him if Lazio decides to keep him.
Yeah, I just think as an outsider, this is the perfect team for Maurizio Sarri to go to, because he's a very dangerous coach when given the right players and the right team. And I don't think, like you said, Danny, Lazio will have that team to suit Maurizio Sarri. So it's kind of basically saying, okay, you're a great manager. We're going to give you to this team that doesn't suit your style at all. And I think Lazio will be a tough game to play, but it won't be. He'll drop a lot of points where Lazio won't even be close to the race.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, if you would, like, perfect team, Lazio, I would still argue that Napoli could have been the perfect team for Sarri, come back, get to the guys he knows. Maybe have Osimhen, say, be his kind of like Mertens, which Mertens yeah. is still there. I would still think Napoli would be the perfect
if
situation.
If he went to Napoli,
I think
Napoli could have been contenders. I'm being 100%. If Sarri went back to Napoli, I think the top
three
could have been
Juve, Roma, Napoli. I think we're contenders. To be honest, the only thing I can see Napoli making a good push for, maybe deep in Europa League, maybe a nice Coppa Italia run, and getting top four. That's what I think Napoli. That's my goal this year. Just as a Napoli fan, I want to go pretty far in Europa League. I want to go far in the Coppa Italia. And I just want to make top four because I don't think we have the team to win the Scudetto. I still think we need more guys. We still need to upgrade our left back position, which is not looking good right now, but the window's still young. I want to say, like, the transfer market's still young, still a lot of time to make signings. So if we can bring in a left back, then we'll see. But we still need maybe a fourth center back, because I'm not sold on Luperto at all. Still need a CDM in case of the future of Fabio Ruiz. We don't know what that future could hold for us. And I still think we just need guys here and there just to come in, and especially in January, where we play Juve, but we're going to not have Osimhen or Koulibaly due to the African Cup of Nations. So right there, if Napoli don't show up, then those are 3 points that are dropped. So I think right now we're just a top four team, but my goal this year is just to have on the Spalletti, for me to say, okay, he had a successful season, go pretty far in Europa League, maybe quarterfinals, semifinals in Europa League, depending on who we play, and a Coppa Italia run, maybe into the semifinals or finals of the Coppa Italia, then make top four, obviously, and then I'll say, yeah, the successful year. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting year, and I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, I can't wait. There's so many question marks, it makes it fun, the league. And,
yeah.
Because
and
you don't know what's going to happen.
Think of it, too. All the top six, all six sides, say Juve, Inter, Milan, Atalanta, Roma, Napoli, Lazio, whoever, they all have a good enough squad to make top six. So predicting this year's prediction is going to be very tough for us,
which
is finally good, because now the league is competitive. People say, oh, it's a farmers league. No, now Serie A is a competitive league based on the teams in the league. I feel like any team in the league can beat each other, and it showed that in the past. And I think that trend could continue to this season.
Yeah, I agree. There's so many things that we don't know what's going to happen. I feel like the previous year has been more predictable. You know, you have a feeling it's going to happen. I think we still have a feeling who may win the Scudetto, but I think everything else is a big mix-up. Champions League spots, I honestly have no idea. Like, choosing four teams will actually be really tough. I have no idea. I think as maybe the Mercato goes on and we see some more preseason games, I have a better idea. But until then, I really have no idea. Like, Roma, Napoli, Juve, even Milan. I know Milan hasn't changed much, but I feel like they spent a lot of money, Milan, if you think about it. Just re-signing Tomori, Brahim Diaz.
Getting that Bella Torre guy.
Mangan.
Giroud.
So they made some upgrades, and yeah, we'll see what happens with Milan as well. They're going to be very interesting. We'll see if maybe Pioli switches up the formation or something, because I feel like they may need something, just a new, something new in Milan I feel like is missing. Maybe a new switch up in formation or tactical change. I don't know what it will be. Maybe Zlatan and Giroud together. Who knows? But yeah, I think that's it. Anything else, boys, before we wrap it up?
Nope, I'm okay. I still have to say.
Yeah, I think Juventus are yet to play a friendly game, so I can't really comment on that just yet. But I think the season's looking promising for the smaller teams, and I think Allegri has a lot of pressure for him this season. I'm looking forward to watching how his new Juventus is playing. Maybe 2 years ago, the last time he watched, but that's about it. I'm just enjoying the Olympic soccer right now. Waking up every day at 3 a.m., watching the women's soccer, the men's soccer, and just enjoying football.
Yep. Well, yeah, we'll wrap it up there. It's been a fun one. Going forward, I know we try to get a pod out every week, which we will continue to do so, but I don't want to force any pods and make any, you know, like half-assed pods. So if there's nothing to talk about, we won't just force one out there. But hopefully as the weeks go on, some more news comes out, because not much really going on. I expected more after the Euros, to be honest. But I think in the next 2 weeks, we should see some big, maybe not big moves, but more moves at least. So
yeah, hopefully Locatelli finally comes.
Yeah, Locatelli, that guy, I don't know what's going on there anymore. I haven't seen the same report. Yeah, the same report's been coming out for 2 months now. I have no idea anymore. Hopefully next pod, Locatelli is a Juventus player. I really want to talk about that. And the prospect of that.
And Napoli hijacked the transfer. There's a pod.
Locatelli's a Napoli. There you go. Then we got a good title for next week. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully some stuff happens. Thanks for listening. Go check us out. Instagram, our at is @6_SideCulture. And Twitter @6_IX_SideCulture. Go check us out. We'll be back next week. Ciao,
guys.